We're holding on Lamed Vov Amud Aleph, six lines from the top. Continuing on the discussion of matzah. So far we've had certain basic facts that we've already had, that the species of grain that you're going to make matzah from has to be the kind that's able to become chametz, which we said according to the Chachamim, and this is the halacha, only the chameshes aminim, only wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. And according to Reb Nechon Menuri, also odors and doichan, rice and millet or panic grass or whatever those are exactly. But the halacha is not like him. We talked about if it's mixed with juices other than water, what the din is. And by the way, I should mention in this connection that Rambam actually draws a distinction among juices. He says that we learned yesterday about yayin shemen udvash. Wine, oil, or honey. So the Rambam says only those ones specifically do you have the din that if dough is made with them, then it can't become chametz. As opposed to other liquids, it could. Most of the other Rishonim disagree with him. But we're going to be talking about that point more. We're going to be talking about that point about juices in matzah today. So the Gemara starts off Tana Rabbanan. Now we learned yesterday. Also, we learned in the Mishnah that there are various kinds of things you have. Dmai and Maisirishin Shinitla Trumasai and so forth that you're allowed to make matzah out of. On the other hand, we said you're not allowed to make out of Tevel or Maisirishin Shalonitla Trumasai, etc. And we talked about each one, what the chiddush of it is. So in particular, one of the things we mentioned, therefore, is that you're allowed to use Maisisheni that was nifter, that was redeemed. Now that's talking about when the Maaseh Sheni is outside your Shalayim and you redeem it, and then the produce itself becomes chulin and you can eat it wherever you want. You just have to take now the money that you redeemed it with and bring it to your Shalayim and eat it there. Now we're going to talk about what about the actual Maaseh Sheni itself if it's in your Shalayim, which is where it's supposed to be eaten. So Tana Rabbanan, Yochol Yotze Adam Yidei Chivase B'Maaseh Sheni Bir Shalayim. You would think a person would be Yotze, the mitzvah of matzah, if he takes wheat or barley of my or whatever of my sasheni and makes matzah of it and eats it in your shalayim. No, Talmud Loma lechem oini. Therefore, the pasuk says that it has to be lechem oini, bread of poverty. And we also darshan the word oini as if with an ayin, which is meloshin, which means poor, as if it was with an aleph, which is meloshin aninus. So therefore it has to be lechem that could be eaten in aninus. Aninus is when a person's close relative passes away until the person becomes an oinon, until the body is buried. Midaraisa, it's only the one day. Midarabanan, it's also the following night if the burial hasn't taken place yet, etc. The point is that daraisa, you have the maisa sheni, you're not allowed to eat maisa sheni when they're an oinon. So lechem sheni, lechem oini, ma shen necho ba'aninus. It has to be that the bread is the matzah is something that would be able to be eaten even when a person is oinin. Yotzeh, as opposed to ma'aser sheni, she'ena necho ba'aninus ela b'simcha. When it comes to ma'aser sheni, you have a pasuk that says you're not allowed to eat it ba'aninus because the pasuk says that by vidui ma'aser, a person has to be able to declare lo achalti ba'oni mimenu. I didn't eat ma'aser sheni while I was in aninus. So ma'aser sheni can't be eaten by aninus. In fact, the pasuk there says talks about simcha. So therefore, we learn from that ma'aser sheni cannot be eaten by aninus and has to be eaten in a state of simcha. Therefore, divrei Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Therefore, Rabbi Yosi Haglili says you can't make matzah out of ma'aser sheni. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, no, matzos, matzos, riba. Like we learned yesterday, it says many times in the Torah that you should eat matzos, and therefore it means anything that fits the criteria of matzah, you can eat. So therefore, yes, you could eat matzah, you could take ma'aser sheni and eat it in your shalayim as matzah and be yotze the mitzvah. Im kein matamad loyma lechem oini. So if so, says Rabbi Akiva, what does the word lechem oini come to me, mamayet? As we said yesterday, as opposed to dough that was kneaded with wine or oil or honey, where then, as we said yesterday, that's matzah ashira, and therefore you can't use it for the mitzvah. Okay. So the Gemara asks, my time at Rabbi Akiva. So what's Rabbi Akiva's reason? Okay, he's saying that oini means that it that it can be poor. So what's the question is, the Pnei Yeshua, that Tzlach talk about what the Gemara means, what exactly is the question? One question is, what makes Rabbi Akiva say, I think Tzlach says this, what makes Rabbi Akiva say, therefore, that we're memayit when it's made with wine or oil or what have you, and be marba, that you can use Maisa Sheni, which is the opposite of, not like Rabbi Yisrael Glili, maybe the other way around. Maybe he should agree with Rabbi Yisrael Glili that Lechem Oni is excluding Maisa Sheni. And instead, we're allowing you to use matzah made with wine or what have you. So why does Rabbi Akiva Davka insist that it's this way? So the answer is miksiv lechem oini, because after all, in the Torah, the word oini is not written with the vav in it, where then we would have to read it as oini, and then we would be able to relate it to the word oini loyachalti, but oini mimenu from Maisa Sheni. Oni iksiv. After all, it's written in the Torah without the vav, so we can read it as if it said oni, which means poor. So nothing to do with Maisa Sheni, and now nothing to do with Maisa Sheni and with Aninus.
What's the connection? Oni with Ein and Vav to Maaseh Sheni. What? How does it connect?
The point is, if we had the Vav in there, then it would force us to read the word as Oni. Then we could do like Rabbi Yisrael Glili and Darshan as if it said Oni with an Aleph and relate it to Lo Yachalti Oni Mimenu of Maaseh Sheni.
Why but now? Why Ein with Vav is equal to Aleph?
No. It's not that Ein and Vav is equal to Aleph. The Vav would force us to read the word as Oni rather than Oni. If we once we're forced to read the word as oini, then we could do like Rabbi Yisrael Glili and say the ayin can interchange with an aleph, and we can darshan it like oini that we have by Maaseh Sheni. But because it's written in the Torah without the vav altogether, therefore the more likely reading of it is oni. Now, obviously, when we read the Torah, we do read the word oini, but it's written in the Torah in such a way as to suggest that the pronunciation would really be oni, and the word oni has nothing to do with aninus. You can't relate the word oni to oini. You can't really relate the word oni with an ayin and a kamatz to oini with an aleph and a cholam. So there's less reason to say that it has anything to do with the aninus of Maaseh Sheni. If the Torah had written it with the vav, which therefore would force us to read the word as oini with a cholam, then you could do Rabbi Yosef Glili's drosha, says Rabbi Akiva.
Why is reading more important than writing in this case?
We actually do have a machloikus in the Gemara in a number of places, whether yesh aim lemikra or yesh aim lemasodas, whether we go more primarily according to the reading or the writing. But halt cup a second, let's learn a few more lines, and we'll see that actually Rabbi Akiva is going to darshan both of them. So Rabbi Yisrael Glili, would answer to that. Me korin and oni. The fact is, we don't read the word oni. The fact is, oni korin, and the fact is, we do read it with a cholam, and therefore that should allow us to darshan it like oni by Maaseh Sheni. Rabbi Akiva would answer to that. Hide korin and be oni. The fact that the word is read as oni with a cholam, that teaches us something else. Kiddush Shmuel. That teaches us what Shmuel is saying. Da'ama Shmuel lechem oni. That the reason why matzah is called lechem oni, lechem sha'oinin olav dvarim harbe. It's bread over which we answer and speak up many words. This is the reason, by the way, why we uncover the matzah throughout most of Magid, why we break the middle matzah before Magid. So this way it's both. It's lechem oni, it's poor man's bread, and it's also lechem sha'onin olav dvarim habe. It's also bread over which many things are said. So in other words, the idea is, according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, you're only darshaning the reading of the word. According to him, there's nothing to darshan from the fact that it's written in the Torah without the vav. There's nothing to darshan from him according to the fact that it's written ayin nun yud. We're strictly darshaning from the fact that it's written that it's pronounced with a cholam, and therefore he's relating it to the word oini as in loyachalti ba'oini mimenu. According to Rabbi Akiva, we have both. We're able to darshan the written form oni, meaning that it has to be poor man's bread, not made with juice. And we're also able to darshan the pronunciation of it, oini, to mean that it's lechem sha'onin olav dvarim habe, but not to darshan that oini is related to the loyachalti ba'oini mimenu of Maaseh Sheni. So that's, in fact, what Tzlach says. That's the point the Gemara was trying to get at. is that Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, now, you, as I said, you have a machloikus in a few places in Shas, whether yesh em lemikra or yesh em lemasodis. But everybody agrees that if you can darish in both of them, then that's the better way to do it. So Rabbi Akiva, therefore, has the advantage over here because he's able to darish in both of them. He's able to show how both the written form oni and the pronunciation oni both teach us something, as opposed to, according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, you're only darishing the pronunciation oni and not the written form oni. We're going to take up this point again on Omid Beis because so first the Gemara is going to continue. First the Gemara is going to go back to the matter of matzah ashira, of matzah made with juice, which Rabbi Akiva was just talking about and saying that it's no good. We're going to go back to that point later on at the bottom of this Omid, at the top of the next Omid. We're going to get back to this point about Maaseh Sheni and discuss it and discuss more about it, about the pros and cons of using it. So the Gemara continues. So you're telling me Rabbi Akiva holds that if dough is kneaded with wine or oil or honey, then you can't use it for matzah. Vahatanya, we learn in a brisa, ein loshen isa pesach b'yayin v'shemen u'dvash. You're not allowed to knead a dough with those things on Shabbat on Pesach. The imlosh. Now, if you did need such a dough, Rabbi Gamliel emeti sorif miyad. Rabbi Gamliel says you have to burn it right away. Now, when we say burn it right away, we would mean Rashi points out we're not talking about during Yom Tov. We're talking about during Chol HaMoed, because on Yom Tov itself, you can't burn it because it would be burning shaloi letzorich. It's not for the need of Yom Tov. Now, Rashi also adds over here, we learned before Rabbi Yechanan had said mei peres ein machmitzin. So again, here's where Rashi learns that when we say mei peres ein machmitzin, it means they don't become full-fledged chometz of the kind that a person would be chayev kares for eating. However, they do become chometz nuksha, and there's a lav on eating that, and therefore, now what happens is, because we also said over there that it becomes chometz faster, then therefore the result is it becomes chometz so fast that you're not really going to be able to prevent it from becoming chometz. Therefore, Rav Gamliel is just saying burn it right away before it becomes chometz and you're going to be over on it. Now a couple of points in that. First of all, as far as the second point, as far as juice, so we learned yesterday, Tosfos learns that no, juice by itself actually would not make it chametz, not even chametz nuksha. What we mean over here is if there's juice mixed together with a little bit of water, that's when we're saying that it becomes chametz faster than regular, faster than with just water alone. So that's when Rav Gamliel would be saying that you would have to burn it. But if, according to Tosfos, if it was made with pure juice, then you would actually be allowed to bake it and eat it because it would never become chametz, not even chametz nuksha. As far as the other point in Rashi that you can't burn it on Yom Tov because it would be have Orosh Shalei Letzorech, a couple of Achronim asked the question why. We have a concept in when it comes to Hilchos Yom Tov called Hoyil. Once you're allowed to do a certain malacha for Tzorech Yom Tov, then you're allowed to do it even where it's less Tzorech Yom Tov. Classic example, of course, is that once we're allowed to carry on Yom Tov for the sake of carrying food, then we're allowed to carry other things on Yom Tov as well. So why don't we say the same thing over here? A couple of different answers that Achronim give. One of them, the Chassam Sofer, says because in this case, the situation came about by his own fault. He's the one who made the dough over here with juice, which he wasn't supposed to, and which is now going to become chametz. So therefore, you have less of a dispensation for him to be able to burn it on Yom Tov. Anyway, whatever the case, Rav Gamliel says you have to burn it right away. The Chachamim say you could eat it. In other words, according to them, there is enough time to be able to bake it before it actually becomes chametz. Or again, according to Tosfos, there's nothing to talk. According to Tosfos, again, we're talking about it was made with juice and a little bit of water, same thing. They hold you could prevent it from becoming chametz, so therefore you should bake it right away and eat it. The Amar Rabbi Akiva, and here's the key point. Rabbi Akiva says, Shabosi hoisa etzor Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. One time during Pesach, I spent Shabbos during Pesach by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. The lashdi lahem issa b'yayin v'shemen udvash. I needed for them a dough using wine or oil or honey. V'loy omrili dover, and they didn't say that there's any problem. So therefore, in other words, so we see that Rabbi Akiva himself holds that you're allowed to make such dough during Pesach. But Pashtos, the Gemara is assuming at this point that it means that he's even made it for them for matzah mitzvah. And therefore, so what do we mean? Rabbi Akiva had said before, you're not yotze. Rabbi Akiva had said before, you're not yotze because it would be because it's not lachem oni. But we see from this braisa that Rabbi Akiva himself is saying, I made such matzah for Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and they ate it. And continues the Braisa, the Afal Pisha Ein Loshin. Now even though we're saying that you can't knead dough with such things, even according to the Chachamim, it's not the best thing to do. Mekatfin, because again it might become chametz. Nevertheless, mekatfin boy, but you're allowed to baste the dough with it, which means where you smear, you sprinkle or whatever the surface of the dough with some kind of liquid after it's been kneaded. It's called basting, sort of like now when you make challahs and you baste them with egg. It's the same idea. So the chachamim are saying so afal pi she'ein loshin. So even though you're not allowed to knead dough with these things on Pesach, Mekatfinbo, you are allowed to baste the dough with it. And the Gemara interjects Asar on the Tanakama. That part is according to the Tanakama, with the Tanakama of the Braisa that it said, Ein Loshin Isra Pesach, B'yayin Meshem and Midrash, that you're not allowed to do it Lachatchila. So the Braisa is continuing, according to the Chachamim, that you're not allowed to do it Lachatchila, to knead the dough with it, but you are allowed to baste the dough with it. So that part is according to the Tanakhama. The Chachamim, I mean, whereas the Chachamim say, and these are the same Chachamim as before, who said that if you did make it with wine, etc., then you could bake it right away and eat it because there is time to prevent it from becoming chametz. They say, es shaloshin bei mekatfin bei, any liquid that you're allowed to knead the dough with, you're allowed to baste the dough with. The Escha in Loshen by in Makatfin by whatever you're not allowed to knead with, you're not allowed to baste the dough with, because even basting, it's only a little amount, but still there's enough of it that it could that could cause it to become chametz faster. Egg, there's no water in it, right? But still, you have water in the dough itself, and maybe it combines again. V'shavin she'en loshin is the issue of poshrin. Now, everybody agrees, though, that you're not allowed to knead the dough for matzah with warm water or lukewarm water, because then it's more likely to become chametz. We're going to talk about further on in the perek about the concept of at the end of the perek, we're going to talk about mayim shalonu. We're going to talk about various dinim about that, about making sure the dough doesn't become too heated up while you're making it. And one of those things is warm water. Anyway, the point is that before we had Rabbi Akiva arguing with Rabbi Yosi Aglili and saying that you can't make matzah with wine, etc. Here we have in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva is saying, I made such dough, I personally made such matzah for Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So how do you reconcile it? So the answer is like Kasha, Habi Yom Tov Rishon, Habi Yom Tov Sheni. It depends whether you're talking about the first day of Pesach or the second or any of the other days. Now there is actually now usually what we Rashi explains, we mean Laila Harishon. When we say Yom Rishon, we really only mean the first night of Pesach, because that's the only time when you have a mitzvah min haTorah to eat matzah. The rest of Pesach, as we've said before, you don't have a mitzvah per se to eat matzah. You just can't eat chametz. There is an interesting idea that some Mefarshim say that maybe the whole first day of Pesach, the day also, you're not allowed to eat matzah ashira. Maybe the concept of eating lechem oni, even though you only have the mitzvah, but erev toichlu matzahs, only on the night of Pesach, maybe there's a separate thing that the whole first day you should be eating only lechem oni. So in fact, there are rishonim who learn that another example of matzah ashira, besides what we're talking about over here, is making it with juices and whatnot. Another example of matzah ashira, they say, would be matzah that is boiled. So according to that, then you have those who have the minhag to eat gebrochts on Pesach. Some of them hold, therefore, that we still don't eat it on the first day of Pesach, because that might be considered according to those who show him matzah ashira. So Lamaisa, we don't eat matzah bowls or whatever the whole Pesach for a different reason, because of the concern that some flour was left on the top of the dough and is going to become chametz. The Alter Rebbe talks about it in one of the Truvis in back of Shulchan Aruch, and that's where we get the concept of not eating gebrochts. But you have people who, even though they eat gebrochts, they're noyig not to eat on the first day because of that. So over here, when the Gemara says Yom Tov Rishon, it could mean, according to that, the entire first day of Yom Tov, as opposed to Yom Tov Sheni, the second day of Pesach, already you're allowed to eat matzah ashira, so therefore you'd be allowed to eat these kind of things. That the first whole day, there are rishonim who hold that you're supposed to eat lechem oni, only flour and water matzah, the entire first day, not just by night. Yeah. And so when the Gemara is saying over here that Rabbi Akiva is saying B'yom Tov Rishon versus B'yom Tov Sheni doesn't just mean the night, it means the whole day as well. But the simpler understanding is what Rashi is saying. We mean just the first night. When we say Yom Rishon, we mean the first night as opposed to the day. Fine, well, that's a different matter. Erev Pesach, you're not supposed to eat matzah. Again, actually, according to, yeah, we don't eat matzah either, fine. But that has nothing to do with eating on the first day, Pesach. That's something else. Yeah. Okay. Again, given the opinion of Rashi, again, this is all talking according to the opinions that the following Tosfos, that juice by itself is not able to create chametz. According to Rashi's understanding, that juice by itself is able to create chametz nuksha, then you would have a problem with that anyway, because then all by itself, then that would be, then matzah shita would be a problem because it could become chametz faster. Yeah, okay. No, the first day of Yom Tov, we are talking about the first day. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. And the Gemara continues, K'da'amalahu Rabbi Yeshua Livnei, as we find that Rabbi Yeshua told his sons, Hagoyes Habach says, actually, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it's supposed to say, Yoyma Kamalai Talushuli Bechelva, on the first day of Pesach, don't knead dough for me to make matzah with milk, because that would be matzah ashira. Mikan ve'elach, lushuli bechelva, after that, you can make it with milk. So we see the same distinction between the first night and the rest of Pesach, or the first day and the rest of Pesach, as the case may be. So the question is, V'hatanya, b'chlal, how are they allowed to make it with milk? Don't we learn in a b'raisa, ein loshen es isha b'cholav, you're not allowed to knead dough with milk, v'im losh kalapas asura, v'nei hergal aveira. If you did, then all the bread is also because it may lead to aveira, because you may come to eat it with meat. So how is he telling them to make it with milk in the first place? The answer is Ella Hochi Ka'amar. No, rather what he means is not milk, but rather Yoyma Kamaloi Talusha Libid Duvsha. The first day is telling me don't make it with honey. Mikan Ve'elach Lusha Libid Duvsha. The rest of the days you can make it with honey. The E Bois Ema, another possibility, La Olam Bechelva. He did actually mean milk. And the reason why it works, Kid Omer Ravina Ke'en Torah Shari. Like Ravina says, if you make it in a small amount, like the eye of an ox, then it's mutter, because then you're going to eat it right away in one sitting, and you're not going to leave it and have a problem that later on you're going to forget it's milk or bread. Hachanami ke'en toda, the same thing we could be talking about over here, where it was made in a very small amount. So Rashi is translating ke'en toda as very small loaves, very small baked goods, like little cookies or something. The Rambam has a different understanding of it. He says it means that it's shaped in a certain way that you'll recognize that it's milk or bread. Both of those are brought in Shulchan Aruch, so both of those are valid reasons to be able to make milk with dough. To be able to make dough with milk is either if it's small, like Rashi's saying, so you can eat it in one sitting, or if you make it in a distinctive shape, like the Rambam is saying, in order that you'll recognize. Either one of those is valid. That's the point. So Shavuos, you make it in small things, and you make it in a distinctive shape. Yeah. Okay. So the point is that there's no contradiction in what Rabbi Akiva is saying, because when he said that you can't use yayin v'shemen u'dvash, he's talking about when you have a mitzvah of eating lachem oni, which is primarily on the first night, maybe to a lesser extent the whole first day, but not the rest of Pesach. The rest of Pesach, you could, in principle, use matzah ashira, at least according to that opinion. Again, according to the opinions that it's going to become chometz nuksha, then obviously you can't. Erev Toichlu Matzahs, you have a mitzvah. But the rest of Pesach, we're going to learn at the end of the Masech that the rest of Pesach, it's only optional to eat matzah. I'm not sure what you're. No, the Havamina of the first day. You have Meforshim who say that because the expression is Shivas Yomim Terchel Olav Matzahs Lechem Oni Elaman Tizkus Yom Teis Chamer Tzeit Time. So maybe it applies to the whole first day. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Onward. We said Veshavin Chein Loshen Es Ish Meforshim.
It's very hard to understand that the Torah says explicitly and several times that 7 days we have to eat matzah, and we come and interpret it as just the first day.
The reason why that is, why did the Torah is saying 7 days? Why do we say only the first day? Because we're going to learn later. We're going to learn later on. We're going to learn at the end of the Masechta. You have a different pasuk that says for 6 days you should eat matzahs. So therefore, what we do is actually we say this is an example of lo lalamed al atzma yotza, lalamed al klal kula yotza. It means not only 6 days, the whole 7 days, it's optional to eat matzah, except for the first night, because there you have a separate pasuk that says be'erev toichel matzahs. So therefore, that's the result. It means for 7 days you should eat matzahs, in the sense, if you want to eat bread during those 7 days, then it has to be matzah. It cannot be chametz, but only the first night is there a specific mitzvah to eat matzah, and you can't be yotze with anything else. That's the difference.
Because one time it says seven and the other time it says six.
Because one place it says seven and one place it says six. So we say that means the rest of the whole seven is just like the six. All of them are only optional. Since the pasuk is saying six, it implies there's one day that's optional. And once we say it's loy lalamed al atzma yotze, it's not just going to teach us that the seventh day is optional. It teaches us that all 7 days are optional, except for the first night, because there the pasuk specifically says ba'erev toichlu matzahs. That's the deal. Okay. We said in the Brice of a shoven chain loshen is issue of poshrin that everybody agrees you can't knead the dough for matzah with warm water. So the question is, why? Why is it any different than the flour for menachas? The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, kol menachas niloshes b'poshurin, all menachas are kneaded with warm water, and it's better to do that because then it makes a better quality dough. It makes better quality dough than when you make with cold water. But umeshtamrin shalo yechamtzu, and they make sure, they watch them to make sure that they don't become chametz, because most menachas have to be matzah. So why can't we do the same thing over here? The answer is, im omer b'zrizin, yom b'she'en zrizin. Okay, there you're talking about the koyim, a zrizin, so they can be careful. But matzah is made by anybody, so you don't necessarily have that the people are going to be zoriz and be careful to prevent it from becoming chometz, so therefore we can't allow it. So the question is, yihachi miltas nami losis. In that case, when it comes to the menachas, we should also be allowed to do lasisa to the grain before we grind it. Lasisa is you take the grain and soak it in water a little bit. And then what you do is you pound it in a mortar, and that way you can take the bran off more easily. That way you get cleaner flour that way. So now we're going to learn later on that you can't do lasisa. You can't do lasisa on Pesach because there's too much of a chance that the grain will become chametz in the course of it. And now, so when it comes to the menachas, if you're telling us that the koyanim is rizim, you should be allowed to do that by menachas as well, in order that you get a cleaner flour with less bran in it. And yet, Aloma Omer Abzera Omer Rabbi Rabbi Yirme Omer Shmuel Chitin Shemanochas Ein Loisus Inoisa. You can't do that with the wheat of Menachas. So why is it that warm water, that kneading with warm water, we're allowing, but Lasisa soaking the grain and pounding it, we're not allowing? The answer is, Lisha Bizrizin Issa. The difference is because the kneading of the Menachas is done by people who are Zoris. The Koyanim are doing it. Lasisa less of his risen, as opposed to the lasisa would be being done by people who are not zoris. When the person brings a korban mincha, it's already made into soilus. It's already been ground up into flour. So necessarily the lasisa has been done at home. So you can't, not necessarily would he be careful enough to avoid it becoming chametz. Therefore, we can't allow that to be done. Right. So the question is, v'lisha mi'ise bizrizin. Now, though, on the other hand, when it comes to the kneading, is that done by the zrizim as well? Is that done by the koyanim? Now, you have different kinds of menachas. You have, Rashi explains that particularly, we're not talking now, there's a kind of mincha called minchas soilus, where you just bring the flour mixed with oil. That kind, obviously, there's no kneading. But then you have a couple of different other kinds of menachas. You have minchas machvas and marcheshes, where you have a dough that's fried, a machvas in a shallow pan, marcheshes in a deep pan. You have minchas mafe tanur, where it's baked in an oven. So the baking of those, so the baking has to involve that you knead it first, in particular then with the minchas mafe tanur, it has to be kneaded first. So the question is that kneading actually taking place with the zrizin? But the pasuk says v'yotzek alei hashemen, that you pour oil on the mincha, and then it says v'heviya al hakoyin, and then you bring it to the koyin, and the koyin does the k'mitza. So we learn from that, k'mitza ve'elach mitzvahs kohona, only k'mitza and onward is what the koyinim have to do. Limid al yitziko of lila shekshein b'chol adam, which this teaches us, therefore, that the pouring of the oil and the mixing of the oil together can be done, those can be done by anybody. Now those, Rashi explains, in particular by a minchas mafetanur, all of those things take place after it's kneaded and baked. Rashi describes the order is, with a minchas mafetanur, they bake it, first they knead the dough and bake it, then you break it down into small pieces, Then you break it down into small pieces. Then you pour oil on it and mix the oil in. Then does the kohen do the kmitza. So therefore, after it's baked, yeah. So that's the thing. That's why you have to break it into pieces. That Rashi over here is bringing, according to one man de Omar in Menachos, that you break it down all the way until it's crumbs again, until it's like crumbs, like the original size of the solus that it was made from. There's a different opinion in the Gemara over there that you just break it into a few large pieces. Whatever the case, then you're able to take kmitza from it. So the point is, therefore, so the lisha, the kneading, takes place long before it's brought to the kohen. So what do you mean that zrizim are doing it? The answer is lisha nihidib is zrizim lessa. Okay, it's not done by the actual zrizim themselves, because it can be done by Yisrael, b'makom zrizim issa, but it is done in the place where the zrizim are, meaning where the kohenim are around and about in the azara. Because we learned in a braisa that the mixing of oil and all the other, on all the previous steps, are kosher with a zor, but chutz l'chaimus azara psula. But if it's done outside the wall of the azara, then it's possible. Rashi explains the reason is because, again, we're talking about the menachas that are fried or baked. The frying pans that they use, the machvas and the marcheshes, as well as the oven that they use, they're all clay sharis. So therefore, they're all in the azara. So therefore, the kohenim can tell him what to do and make sure what he's doing when he's kneading with warm water, that he does it fast enough for it not to become chametz. As opposed to lasisa, if he was going to do it, again, he's bringing flour to the Beis Mikdash, which means he'd be doing the lasisa at home. There's nobody to supervise, so there's more of a chance that it could become chametz. And therefore, we can't allow that. No, it's not a matter of being learned. The kohenim are zrizim, and therefore... If the person himself, when he brings the flour from his house, obviously they're going to make sure that what he's bringing is tahor, that he himself is not tameh and that the flour is not tameh. That's another matter. But yeah, okay, you know what, you know, eidachad namen b'yisurin. But for him to be careful and know how much lasisa to do in order that it shouldn't become chametz versus not, that we can't trust. Yeah. Right, but.
The sisa again is what's the process?
Right, but even one second, Avraham Moshe. Let me just finish what Eli was saying. Even Amei Oretz are careful when it comes to things of Kodshim. So the guy brings it from his house. Yeah, we can make sure. Obviously, we have to ask him to make sure that it's tahor and that he's tahor, etc. But once we do that, then we can trust him. But with sisa, we don't. He's not necessarily going to know to be careful about. What was the question?
What is exactly the sisa?
That's the lasisa I was saying, was you take the grain and you soak it in water. What that does is that now softens it a little bit to the point where now it's easier. Now what you do is you pound it, and now it's much easier to get the bran off it. And now when you grind it, you're going to have much cleaner flour.
So what does it have to be done in with water? Why can't you do it with something else than water, with oil, for instance?
Why can't then you do it with oil? I don't know. Well, first of all, because I don't know if you could do it with it. I don't know if it would work with oil. Oil would make it sticky. So I don't know if that would work. You probably water is the best thing to do it with. I don't know. But anyway, Tosfos points out, Tosfos actually brings another point also, and a very interesting name that Tosfos brings us in the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim Bar Ephraim HaGibor. We always hear Shimshon HaGibor. Here you have Rabbi Ephraim HaGibor. The original Rabbi Ephraim HaGibor, actually, he's also called Rabbi Ephraim HaGadol, and Rabbeinu Yakir, and a number of other names, was a Talmud, and actually kind of a Talmud chover of Rabbeinu Tam. We find in a number of places where he's discussing things in halacha with Rabbeinu Tam, a number of places where he had a very firm opinion about something, even though the other chachamim of his generation argued with him. In any case, it seems from our Gemara over here that he had a son who was named after him. I guess the son was born after he passed away. Anyway, so this Rebbe Ephraim, Bar Ephraim HaGibor, says that they had to measure the isorin of flour using one of the clay shardes in the Beis Mikdash. So necessarily, the kneading has to be done, even forgetting about the fact that the machvas and marcheshes and so forth are clay shardes. Just the fact that the isorin had to be measured out using a clay shardes means that it had to be brought to the Beis Mikdash as flour already, and everything else is happening in Mokum Zrizin, where the kohenim are. So that's why you can't do lasisa, because that would be done outside the Beis Mikdash, and there's no zrizim to watch. But when it comes to the rest of it, you could do it. It's being done in the Beis Mikdash under the supervision of the kohenim. So la puk is lasisa, as opposed to lasisa, the ainim is zrizim v'loy b'makom zrizim. It's not being done by zrizim, because anybody can do it. It's not being done by makom zrizim, because it's being done at home. So therefore, there's too much of a chance that it can become chametz. So the question then is, umay shnom min chasa oimer. Still, why is it different than the Minchas HaOmer? The Tanya Minchas HaOmer loises in Isa. We learn in a Braisa that the Minchas HaOmer. Now, what they would do is the Minchas HaOmer is made of barley. What they would do is they harvest it, then they toast it, like they singe it over a fire. Then they do lasisa with sovereign in Isa, and then they pile it in a pile in order to let the water drain off. So therefore, so why over there are we allowing lasisa? After all, it also has to remain matzah, especially it's actually during Pesach. It takes place on all this is taking place on the second day of Pesach. But in any case, it's a mincha, and mincha and menachas all have to be menachas. Almost all have to be matzah. The mincha sa'oma being one of them. Well, that's so. But the question is, we're still doing lasisa. So the answer is tzibur shiny. It's different when it's a korban tzibur. Everything is being done by the supervision of Beis Din. So therefore, the lasisa also is being done by zrizin. Rashi gives another explanation that sibur shiny means it's different when you pile it up. But Rashi doesn't like that explanation. First of all, the loshen and the tesefta is not vitzovrin. And also, if that was all you need, then you could do the same thing by other menachos as well. So no, it's specifically by the korban ha'omer, which is a minchas sibur. There you're able to do that as opposed to by minchas yochid. So there you don't have an ability to do lasisa without the possibility of it becoming chametz, given that it's taking place outside the azara. But here it's being done in the Azara, but more to the point, it's being done on, it's a Korban Sibur, so the whole thing is being done under the supervision of Beis Din. Kohenim also, obviously, but Beis Din is supervising the whole thing, so they can make sure it's all done right. Okay. Next, Tana Rabbanan. Yocho Yotze Adam Yedei Chevasa B'Bikurim. You would think a person could be Yotze, the mitzvah of matzah, with wheat made from Bikurim. No, a Kohen, obviously, we'd have to be talking about, because Bikurim can only be eaten by a Kohen. No, Talmud Lomar b'chol mishveisechem toichel matzahs. Therefore, the pasuk says, in all your dwelling places, you should eat matzahs. From which we learn matzah ne'echelos b'chol mishveisechem. It has to be matzah that could be eaten anywhere where a Jew lives. Yotzu b'kurim shein ne'echelon b'chol mishveisechem. Ela b'Yerushalayim, as opposed to b'kurim, are only allowed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Divrei Rabbi Yosi HaGlili. So according to him, you can't use b'kurim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, matzah u'morer. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have a hekesh between matzah and morer in the pasuk. Al matzah some rorim yechluhu. Therefore, ma morer she'ene bikurim. Morer, by definition, is not bikurim, because bikurim is only from the shivas aminim, and morer, we're going to learn in a few dafim, is various kinds of vegetables or herbs. In fact, Tosfos points out, now later on, the Gemara is going to ask how we know that morer can't be from a tree. Maybe, for example, it could be an olive, which is quite bitter. So Tosfos says, first of all, the Gemara is going to explain later that no, we learn from a pasuk that morer is only minzroim, is only some kind of herb or plant or something, not from a tree. Besides which, Tosfos says, it's with olives, it's not really the olives themselves are bitter, it's the olive leaves that are bitter. So therefore, olives themselves are not particularly bitter. There's no hava aminah to use them for morer. So therefore, morer of necessity is not something that the shivas aminim comes from. Af matzah she'ena bikurim. The same way, says Rabbi Akiva, matzah can, the same way. So just as morer can't be bikurim, Rabbi Akiva is saying that morer can't be bikurim, therefore matzah can't be bikurim either. So in other words, the same thing, he agrees with Rabbi Yisrael Glili, but for a different reason, that matzah can't be brought from Bikurim, not because you can't eat it, but because matzah has to be from something that can't be Bikurim, just like morer is. So the question is, if so, then maybe carry that hekesh further. Morer, it's not even possible for it to be Bikurim. In other words, not only this particular morer you're eating is not Bikurim, but there's no possibility of that min being used for Bikurim at all. Because again, Bikurim is only from Shivas Aminim. Af matzah she'en b'mina bikurim. Maybe by definition, matzah could only be something that can never be used for bikurim, which means therefore, otzi chitin or sa'odin she'esh b'minim bikurim. Maybe therefore we should exclude wheat and barley, which could be bikurim after all. Now, if you exclude wheat and barley, then what do we have left? So Tosfos asks the question, and there's actually a couple of different gusais that Achronim have, and Tosfos over here, of what Tosfos is saying, one possibility is Tosfos is saying that, yeah, if we said that according to Rabbi Akiva, it would mean that matzah couldn't be from any of the Chamesh HaSaminim, because we said before that spelt and oats and rye are all subspecies of wheat and barley, and if we might one, then we might all of them. The other possibility, according to another gusay in Tosfos, is that Tosfos means that maybe according to this hypothesis, we would say you can't use wheat and barley for matzah, but you could use kusmin, you could use spelt or rye or oats, because you don't actually bring bring bikurim from those. So maybe only things that you can't bring bikurim from all. No, Talmud Lomar matzes, matzes riba. No, therefore, again, the pasuk says matzes many times. So therefore, we're married by anything. So you could use wheat or barley as well. The question then becomes, e matzes, matzes riba, afilo bikurim nami. Then the same thing should apply. You should be able to use bikurim also. So why are we marbe wheat and barley, which could be bikurim, but then when we marbe things that were actually used as bikurim, maybe once we're marbe, we should be marbe all of them. The answer is you're right, hoder be Rabbi Akiva. You're right, Rabbi Akiva actually changed his mind and decided that after all, we learned that you can't use bikurim for the same reason as Rabbi Yisrael Glili does, because of b'chol meshvei sechem. And we know that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind, Tanya. You would think a person could be you would think that a person could be yotze the mitzvah of matzah with bikurim. Talmud loyma b'chol meshvei sechem teichlu matzahs, meaning matzah ne'echelas b'chol meshavos. Again, like we said before, only matzah that can be eaten anywhere in the world where a Jew lives. Yotze bikurim she'en ne'echol b'chol meshavos ela b'Yerushalayim. And then the Braisa continues. Now, once we finish this Braisa, then we're going to see, and we discuss it a little bit, then we're going to see that this Braisa goes according to Rabbi Akiva, and we see that he's learning that you can't use Bikurim from Moshavos, not from the Hekesh of Matzah and Morah, like we said at the bottom of Amar Aleph. That shows that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind and agreed with Rabbi Yisrael Glili. Continues the Braisa, Yochol Shani Motzi Af Maiser Sheni. You would think then that we're also excluding Maiser Sheni, because Maiser Sheni also can't be eaten b'chol Moshavos, because once you bring Maiser Sheni to Yerushalayim, then you can't take it. You can't be mechalal and eat it out of Yerushalayim. Now Rashi over here brings a concept that the Gemara mentions elsewhere in Makkos called Mechitza Likloy Derabanan. The Torah tells us, we know that you have to bring Maiser Sheni to Yerushalayim and you have to eat it there. What happens once you brought it into Yerushalayim? Would you be allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim and be mechalal it and eat it someplace else? So now the Gemara discusses over there that midrabanon you're not allowed to. Midaraisi you might be allowed to, but midrabanon, we're telling you that you can't do that. You have to, once it's in Yerushalayim, it has to stay in Yerushalayim, with an exception that we're going to say soon in our Gemara over here. Tosfos actually discusses that over here and says, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer that we're going to talk about in a second, maybe it would be Daraisa, because after all, if we need a posik to be memayed, the posik is not going to be memayed something that's only also Darabanan. So therefore, that would imply that maybe the concept of Mechitzas Likloit, that once it's in the walls of Yerushalayim, it has to stay there, maybe that concept is Daraisa. Anyway. The point is, Maaseh Sheni cannot be eaten anywhere in the world, because again, once you bring it to Yerushalayim, you can't take it anywhere else. So therefore, it's not edible anywhere else. So you would think that maybe we should exclude Maaseh Sheni and you can't use it either. Talmud Lomar matzes, matzes riba. No, therefore the pasuk says matzes, matzes. And again, that's marba, that you can use things that otherwise you might have thought are also. Continues the Braisa, Umara Isa Lurabas Maaseh Sheni or Lahotzi Bikurim. So what makes you say you should be including Maaseh Sheni and allow that and not allow Bikurim? So the answer is Marbani Maaseh Sheni Shiyesh Leheter B'chol Meshavos. The reason why we're going to allow Maaseh Sheni, and we learned on Omar Aleph as well that Rabbi Akiva allows Maaseh Sheni. We said Rabbi Yisrael Glili didn't allow Maaseh Sheni, but Rabbi Akiva did. So if Rabbi Akiva is learning from Meshavos, then why is he distinguishing? So he says the reason is Maaseh Sheni Shiyesh Leheter B'chol Meshavos. There is actually a way with Maaseh Sheni to say that it would be mutter to eat anywhere. Namely, Kidir Rabbi Eliezer, like Rabbi Eliezer says, namely, Rabbi Eliezer says in other places in the Gemara that if Maaseh Sheni becomes Tomei, then you allow, as actually we're going to have it in a couple of lines over here, we're going to have it in two lines over here, that Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that if Maaseh Sheni became Tomei, then you are allowed to be Poydeh even when it's in Yerushalayim. So even once it was brought into Yerushalayim as Maaseh Sheni, there's still an option to be able to eat it anywhere else in the world if it became Tomei and then you Poydeh. Once you bring fruit of Maaseh Sheni into Yerushalayim, midaraisa, midrabanan, as the case may be, you cannot take it out of Yerushalayim as long as it is tahor. But if it becomes tameh, then you can redeem it even in Yerushalayim, and then you can eat it wherever you want. Yeah. Eating it means exactly that. No. Maaseh Sheni, anybody can eat. This is not bikurim. This is Maaseh Sheni we're talking about. If the food became anybody's allowed to eat tomei food, only if it's truma or kodshim are you not allowed to eat it. Maaseh Sheni is not truma, it's not kodshim. You're allowed to eat it when it's tomei. A koyin midrabanan, if a person eats tomei food, he can't eat truma. So a koyin wouldn't want to eat it because then he's going to be Tommy for Tommy is going to have to toivel midrabanan, but he still could. Nothing physically preventing him. And is if it became Tommy in Yerushalayim. Yeah. Yeah, you have to pay the chomish as well, sure. Umotzi, ani bikurim, shein lain hatta b'chol meshabbos. As opposed to, we're going to exclude bikurim. Once bikurim are brought into Yerushalayim, there's nowhere else in the world that you can eat them. Once they're in Yerushalayim, if they become Tommy, then they're also to eat altogether. You can't take them out of Yerushalayim. And what do we see? The Omer Rabbi Eliezer, minayin l'maisa sheni shenitma shepoidin oisa afilu b'Yerushalayim. From where do we see that if maisa sheni became tomei, you can redeem it even in Yerushalayim? And once you do, then you can take it wherever you want, need it. Tamad loyma ki lois suchal se'esoi. The Pasuk says, when do you redeem maisa sheni? One possibility, the expression of the Pasuk is, v'chiyir b'mimcha derech, if it's a very far journey for you, ki lois suchal se'esoi. Now, the simple meaning of ki lois suchal se'esoi is you can't carry it. There's too much to carry. But the Gemara is doubtioning that the word se'esei, ve'en se'es el achila, the word se'es means eating. Shenemar v'yisa masoi se'es ponav, as you have at the end of Parashas Miketz, when Yosef makes a party and has his brothers over there, and the Pasuk says that he gave masois, he gave portions of food from in front of him to all the brothers. So we see that se'es means eating. So therefore, so it means, in other words, kiloi suchal se'esoi, if the situation is that you're not able to eat the maisa sheni, and why not? Because it became tomei, and you can't eat maisa sheni, which is tomei, then therefore you're allowed to be poydeh. So then you're allowed to be poydeh. So therefore, so we see therefore that Maisa Sheni, there is a way to make it be able to be eaten b'chol mo shavis, anywhere where a Jew lives, as opposed to Bikurim na. Now, this was the Braisa. Now, who does it go like? Man shamat le da'oma Maisa Sheni, b'maisa Sheni nafik vei. Now, which Tana do we see that says you can be Yotze with Maisa Sheni? Rabbi Akiva. We had Rabbi Yosi Aglili versus Rabbi Akiva arguing whether you can be Yotze the mitzvah of matzah with Maisa Sheni. Rabbi Yosi Aglili said no because of Moshavos. Rabbi Akiva allowed it. So now if we're saying that this Braisa is telling us we're allowed to eat matzah of Maisa Sheni, it must be according to Rabbi Akiva. And yet he's agreeing with Rabbi Yosi Aglili that Bikurim is also not because of the hekesh of matzah and murder, but because Bikurim is not b'chol meshveisechem. Shema mina hodebe, that shows that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind. B'chol meshveisechem therefore teaches you that any matzah that cannot be eaten anywhere in the world is not valid for matzah. So that would apply to Bikurim. Once they're in Yerushalayim, you can't eat them anywhere else. As opposed to Maisa Sheni, you could. If it becomes Tomei, then you could redeem it and take it out of Yerushalayim. What do you mean? You can make matzah. Yeah, if it's Tomei, you can make matzahs from it. Why not? Why not? Think of it. How do we do it nowadays? All of us and all of our food is Tomei, and we still... Okay. So the question is, now, so far, what do we have? In other words, we're saying that when it comes to Bikurim, both Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva agree, and Lamaskana, they both agree for the same reason, because it says, b'chol meshveisechem, that therefore you can't use wheat or barley from Bikurim for matzahs. However, when it comes to Maisa Sheni, there's a machlokas. Rabbi Yosi Aglili is also saying that it's also on the grounds of b'chol meshveisechem, and Rabbi Akiva is allowing it because there is a way for it to be mutter in all meshavos, and since we have matzahs riba, then it comes to include that you could use Maisa Sheni. So the question is, why does Rabbi Yosi Aglili have to learn it from B'chol Meshveisechem? He should be able to learn that Bikurim can't be used for matzah for the same drosha that he said on Oman Aleph, typically melechem oini, that you should learn it from the words lechem oini, which he says, misha nechal bo oini, that it has to be matzah that's able to be eaten by aninus, as opposed to bikurim, again, the Pasuk says, on bikurim v'samachta b'chol atoiv, and we learn from that you can't eat bikurim in a state of aninus, so automatically, according to him, it should be osur. The answer is Sovalek Reb Shimon. The answer is Rabbi Yosi Aglili. In that detail, holds like Reb Shimon. The Tanya, Bikurim Asurin La'onin. We learn in a Braisa, Bikurim also for a Koyin, it was an Oinin to eat. But Reb Shimon Matu. Whereas Reb Shimon says it's Mutter. So therefore, so according to Rabbi Shimon, a Koyin who is an Oinin can eat Bikurim. Therefore, you have no reason to say on the grounds of Lechem Oini that you can't use it for matzah. Therefore, you need B'chol Mosh Veseichem. So let's understand the opinions. My time of the Rabbanon, why do the Chachamim against Reb Shimon hold that you can't eat Bikurim in a state of Aninus? Because dichtiv lo yisucha lecho b'sharacha, you have a pasuk that says you're not allowed to eat in your gates, meaning anywhere outside your shalayim, and it gives a whole list of things: ma'aser d'goncha tiroshcha v'itzarecha, uvchoras b'korcha v'tzenecha, etc. The last thing in the pasuk is trumas yodecha. And what does that mean? The word trumas yodecha refers to bikurim because you have the word yad mentioned in connection with bikurim. The kohen takes the basket miyodecha from your hand. So therefore, trumas yodecha ele bikurim. The itkash bikurim lemaiser. So therefore you have a hekesh between bikurim and maiser, because at the beginning of the pasuk you have maiser degoncha tirosh chavitzarecha. So the, and maiser over there means maiser sheni. So therefore ma maiser also la'oinen af bikurim also la'oinen. So therefore, just like maiser sheni is also true in oinen, and we know that because it says la'chalti ba'oinim imenu. So the same thing would be true of bikurim. That's according to the chachamim. V'Reb Shimon, what does Reb Shimon answer to that? He says, fine, you have a hekesh. But on the other hand, truma koninu rachmana. On the other hand, the pasuk calls it trumas yodecha, which means it has to be similar to truma. Ma truma moteres loinen. Truma and oinen is allowed to eat. So af bikurim muter loinen. The same thing, bikurim has to be muter to an oinen as well. So therefore, he says a koin who is an oinen is allowed to eat bikurim. Okay, so the question then is, Reb Shimon nihi de hekesh lesle. Fine, Reb Shimon doesn't agree with the hekesh because he says that instead it's overridden by the trumas yodecha. But simcha miyam miktav tziva bahu. After all, it says the word simcha in connection with bikurim. Dichtiv b'samachta b'cholatoiv. So according to him, that alone should be reason you can't eat them baninus, which is not simcha. The answer is ahul is man simcha udasa. Reb Shimon would say that those words, b'samachta b'cholatoiv, teach us the time of year when you can bring bikurim. It has to be the time of simcha, the time when a person is harvesting and gathering in his crops, and then he's happy with that. And specifically during the time when he's gathering and harvesting is the time when he says the psukim of Arami Oved Avi, as opposed to after that. The Tanan, as we learn in a Mishnah in Bikurim, Me'atzeres v'adachag mevi v'korei, if a person brings Bikurim anytime between Shavuos and Sukkos, then he brings the Bikurim and he says the Psukim, and that's when V'samachta b'chol ha'toiv applies, because that's the time of the year when you have Simcha, that you're harvesting and you're gathering in your produce and you have a nice sized crop. If he's an Oinen during that time, fine, that's the point. So, as an Oinen, he himself can't bring Bikurim, but we're talking about, in other words, the Koyen. Can the Koyen eat Bikurim during that time? If he's an Oinen, the Chachamim are saying no, Reb Shimon is saying yes. But Reb Shimon is saying, the word V'samachta b'chol ha'toiv doesn't teach us that a Koyen who's an Oinen is not allowed to eat Bikurim. It teaches us what time of year can you bring Bikurim, and what time of year can you say the Psukim only from Shavuos until Sukkos. Before Shavuos, you can't, because only when you bring the Shtei Alechem, only then you're allowed to start bringing Bikurim. And the Shtei Alechem are brought on Shavuos, and only until Sukkos, because Sukkos is the time when you're gathering in your crops that were drying out in the field all summer. After that, it's not such a Zman Simcha anymore. So therefore, the Mishnah continues, Me'achag v'ad Chanukah mevi ve'ene korei, between Sukkos and Chanukah, you can still bring Bikurim, but at that point, you can't say the Psukim anymore, because it's not really the time of Simcha. And after Chanukah, you can't at all, because at that point, you don't have many kinds of produce aren't available in the fields anymore, because they've all either ripened or been picked or fallen off the trees or whatever. Yeah. So the point is, Reb Shimon would say, the words for Samachta B'chol ha'toiv are teaching us just that, about the time of year. Nothing to do with a Kohen who's an Oinen eating the Bikurim, and he says, therefore, a Kohen who's an Oinen is allowed to eat the Bikurim. Between Shavuos and Sukkos, it's not all Yom Tov, but it's all Zman Simcha, in the sense a person is happy with his crops and his harvest and all, therefore he can be saying the Psukim Arami Yovedavi. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, with the Pasuk says Lechem Oini. Now we've already said Lechem Oini means that you can't use if it's matzah ashira, if it's made with juice or what have you. But also Lechem Oini, Prat L'cholot V'lashisha. It also comes to exclude where the flour was cholot, or where it was cholot, or it was made as an ashisha. And ashisha is easier to understand. Rashi explains, gluska gdoila means a very large loaf. It's made in such a way of chashivos that it's not really considered lechem oini. Now what is cholot? Rashi explains what they do is they take the flour and they put it in boiling water. That bleaches it. And then they go, and then that bleaches it, and that's a thing of chashivos. It makes it much cleaner and whiter flour than it would otherwise be. Sort of like a bagel, I guess. Well, the difference is a bagel, I think they do that after it's kneaded. He were talking about before. He were talking about before. It was. He were talking about before. Yeah. But actually, Tosfos discusses over here some possibilities that maybe we're talking about over here. For it to be considered matzah, we're going to learn tomorrow, it has to be, if it's going to be cholot, then it has to be a thick, it has to be a thick dough. It can't be like a batter or something. If it was a batter, it wouldn't be considered matzah anyway. So Tosfos says a couple of possibilities. One is that later on, we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to talk about where it was made as a batter. Here we're talking about it's made as a dough. Or the other possibility is here also, what you did is maybe it was a batter, but you baked it in an oven after you did the chalita. Therefore, it would be considered bread. But we're saying that you can't use it as matzah for the mitzvah because not lechem oini. There is a different explanation, actually, that Rabbi Haigoin says that cholot over here means that you put it not in boiling water but in boiling oil. So therefore, it's a problem of matzah ashira again. And also an ashisha. So it continues the braisa. Yochol lo yetsa adam yedei chevasa ela b'pas hadra. Fine. If we're saying it's lechem oni, maybe it has to be like pumpernickel bread or whole wheat bread or whatever. It has to be like a pas hadra that all of the hodr was taken out of it. In other words, that it's not clean flour at all. It's mixed with bran and whatever else. Hadra is like loshen sagi nahar, like all the hodr has been taken away from it. No, Talmud Lomar matzis riba. Again, we have where it says in the pasuk matzis multiple times means any kind of matzis kosher. Ba'afilu k'matzis or shloima. So even the kind of matzis that shloima had, where obviously shloima is eating the best quality stuff, then you're allowed to make such matzis. So it comes to exclude cholot and ashisha. In other words, there's a difference between whether a particular process was done with the flour or with the shape of the bread to make it have more of a chashivos, then it's not lachem oni anymore. As opposed to if it's just it's the cleanest flour that you're able to get without those special processes, then sure, you're allowed to use it for matzahs. So, umay mashma dahai ashisha, what is the meaning of the word ashisha? Lishna de chashivusa, that it's a loshen of chashivus, that it means a very important, a very large loaf of bread. So like this, dichtiv, you have a pasuk, the pasuk describes how David HaMelech was having the oren brought from to Yerushalayim. We have, it's an aftorah parashas Shemini. So first they brought it on a wagon and Uzzah touched it and he died. And then later on, they brought it on the shoulders of the Kohenim like they're supposed to. And it says David is bringing korbanos the whole way. And then it says at the end, Vaychalik l'chol ha'am, he distributed to all the people, l'chol ha'mon Yisrael, to the entire multitude, all of the people who were gathered over there, l'me'ish v'adisha, both men and women, l'ish chalas lechem achas, each person he gave one chala of bread, v'eshbar echad, and one eshbar, v'ashisha achas, and one ashisha. So what is an eshbar and one is an ashisha? V'amar of chonan ba'aba, eshbar means echad b'shisha b'par, eshbar means 1/6 of a par. So he cut. They brought many parim as korbanos, as shlomim along the way. So now what he did is he had them cut each one into 6 large pieces, and he gave a piece to each person who was there. Yeah, and all part of the simcha. And ashisha is echad mishisha be'efa. And an ashisha then would also be 1/6. It would be 1/6 of an efa. Now, why dafka an efa? Marsha explains, because of all the measurements that you have, that the efa is the most commonly used measurement in the Torah. So therefore, if we're saying that ashisha has to be related to the word sheish, then it means 1/6 of an efa. Now, an efa is 10 shiur chala, because of oimah asiris ha'efahu. A shiur chala, so let's calculate. A shiur chala is somewhere around 3 to 4 pounds, depending which posik you ask. So therefore, an efa would be 10 times that, around 30 or 40 pounds. A sixth of that, therefore, would be something that would be about five or six pounds. So that would be a chosh of a thing. That would be a chosh. It's like one of those gigantic chalas that they have by simchas. That's an ashisha, and we're saying that's not considered lechem oini. However, the Gemara says a pliga to Shmuel. Now, that explanation of ashisha in the pasuk disagrees with Shmuel's explanation. Shmuel agrees that in the braisa, of course, the word ashisha means a large loaf of matzah because it can't mean anything else. But he argues in the pasuk, ashisha means something else. He says ashisha means garba de chamra, means a barrel of wine. And we know that, as we find, the Navi criticizes the people of the Aseres HaShvatim that they love ashishe of grapes, meaning they love drinking wine rather than learning Torah, and that's bringing them, and that's dragging them down. So we see over there that ashishe is associated with anovim, which means grapes. So therefore, Shmuel says that it means a barrel of wine made out of grapes. So in the Braisa, fine, ashisha can mean a very large loaf of challah or matzah, but in the pasuk, when it's talking about what David gave out to the people, it means a barrel of wine. According to him, no. So you have, there's three things. There's chalas lechem achas, the eshbar echad v'ashisha achas. According to Rav Chanan bar Abba, he's giving each person a regular size challah, a 1/6 of the power, and an extra large loaf of bread or of matzah, which is 1/6 of an eifah. According to Shmuel, he's giving them a regular size loaf of bread, 1/6 of a power, and a barrel of wine. So everybody agrees they got three things, because the pasuk says three things. The question is, what was that third thing? Was it an extra large loaf of bread, or was it a barrel of wine? Well, it wasn't Pesach time, but so it doesn't really matter. But the Gemara, because that's the thing. The Gemara had said, an ashisha is not lechem oini. So, right. But again, in the Braisa, definitely ashisha means a large loaf. There's no question about that. But in terms of the pasuk, when it's talking about what David gave the people, does it mean that he gave them an extra large loaf, or does it mean that he gave them a barrel of wine? That's what Rav Chanan bar Abba and Shmuel are arguing about. But everybody agrees in the Braisa, ashisha means a large loaf, and we're saying yes, you can't use that for matzah because not lechem oini. Yeah. Okay. To be continued tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Shpeach.